But by and large, you know, riches are the enemy of the gospel. It's so hard for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of heaven because of the great temptation. Now, with God, nothing is impossible. That's what Jesus said. He said in response to that, Peter said, well, who then can be saved? And he says, with man, this is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. And Apostle Paul, he also said, one of my favorite verses in Ephesians, I like to quote it a lot. Ephesians chapter 3, I guess. It's got to be 3 then. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There's a power working in us, which is to be able to do abundantly beyond even things we could think. It means you can't even think far enough to get to what he can do. You think, well, I can think pretty far. Reminds me of a line from a movie. You know, she can give you more wealth than you can imagine. I can imagine an awful lot. Well, God can give you more than you can think. He's able to do more than we... That means what you think God can do, he can do more. He is able. And that power, that ability, is already working in us. Verse 8. If ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor, ye do well. James here calls that law, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, as the royal law. And I think someone once talked about like this certain law in the Old Testament that was actually a purple thread or whatever. I don't know about that stuff. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Because by the New Testament, it's not according to the law or the Old Testament law. It's according to the law of faith. Now, we fulfill this. How does the law of faith work? We have to fulfill it. I tell you, you have to fulfill the law of the New Testament, which is stricter than the Old Testament law. Thankfully, you don't have to fulfill the Old Testament law, which is... You know, it has a lot of easy stuff, you know, gimmies, like wear the certain clothing, you know, and it's like, imagine if all you had to do to be saved was to wear cotton and nothing but. That might be kind of difficult, but you know, if you slip up here, you just offer a lamb. Okay, those are gimmies. But what about the inner righteousness? Pure heart. How do you get that? Well, that's not so easily done. In fact, it's impossible for man, but for God, nothing is impossible. So by faith, we receive this promise. We are going to be lovers of our neighbors, loving them even as we love ourselves. How could you do that? My neighbor is an unattractive person. You know, my neighbor is someone I don't like. I'm not speaking of any of my neighbors personally. I just mean, supposing our neighbors are not very lovable. How do you love your neighbor in that case as yourself? How do you fulfill that? By believing. By faith, we will fulfill all righteousness. And so, we will obtain the fulfillment of all those things. As Paul taught, what the real purpose of the law is the law is, what the law does is it testifies of the righteousness. It is the witness. You know, we have the righteousness which is of faith, and it is being witnessed by the law and the prophets. I mean, the law and the prophets witness the fact that we are righteous. Let's say I love my neighbor as myself. I don't do it because I have it in my head. Okay, I've got to love my neighbor as myself. Oh, Lord, help me. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Well, that's in faith. But because you don't love him. Now, how do you make your heart love him? Well, you can't make your heart love him. But what if God implants it to you that you just do? You love the guy in spite of himself. Now the law says, thou shalt love thy neighbor. And the law is now not a command to you. Because as Paul said in Timothy 1, the law is for the wicked, for the ungodly. If there's anything contrary to good works, it's for them. It's for sinners. Now, if I'm righteous, the law isn't for me, not to command me. It's just a witness. It says, oh, look, yeah, he does do that, doesn't he? He does fulfill that law. The law witnesses the righteousness that is already present. Because by the law, you can't obtain righteousness. Can't be obtained by the law. But the law is the witness of what righteousness is. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, thou shalt not commit adultery, hath also said, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. As I say to people, if you're going to try to fulfill the Sabbath law, well, you're a debtor to do everything. And I do fulfill the Sabbath law. I have obtained the rest which is in Christ. But those old things, observing like specific days, that's all out the window. Days, fabrics, foods, that's all just out the window. I mean, literally, that's just gone. This Christ is our Sabbath. He is the end of all that outward observance. It doesn't profit unto godliness. There's no, you know. Ultimately in Christ, the ultimate righteousness which is of Christ is every day is the Lord's day. This is the day the Lord has made. Not just Sunday, not just Saturday, or yet Friday, or Wednesday. This is the day, today, the day. Whatever day you're listening to us, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, I'm sorry, I want to go back. See, it's sinful. You think you're fulfilling thou shalt love thy neighbor thyself, but you have respect of persons? Meaning love one neighbor more than the other, maybe? It's sin. Especially because you're doing it because of unrighteous reasons, because of guilt, because of evil thoughts. We love our neighbors. We have prayers for all leaders and so on and so forth. But at the Council of Nicaea, for instance, this is one of the biggest betrayals of this of all time. In 325 BC, the church turned to the emperor. Or the emperor asked the church, whatever, but they had respective persons. Oh, you think we ought to have a council? Well, yes. And historians look at that, they don't question it. They don't think, oh, gee, you know, the richest man in the world. They had respect to him. The most powerful man in the world. They had respect to him. With respective persons. They betrayed Christ. And everything that came out of that was sin. Verse 10, for whosoever, I read verse, if you have respect to persons, you commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend,